All right, my sermon title this morning and my theme is that last phrase in verse 17 of Acts chapter 11. What was I that I could withstand God? What was I? I've changed it a little bit. I've said, who was I in my title? Who was I that I could withstand God? And I just want to tell you the setting of what was going on here. Many of you know the story, but as a foundation for my message, just let me tell you what was going on in this story. Of course, the story is about Peter. And Peter was staying with a tanner named Simon in a city called Joppa. He went up to the rooftop in the morning to pray, and he got very, very hungry. I don't know about you, but that sometimes happens to me about 9 o'clock in the morning. I get very, very hungry. And he called down to the household and said, "Boy, I'm really hungry. Could we have lunch a little bit early?" And they said, "Yeah, just stay up there until we get it ready." So while he was up on the rooftop continuing in prayer, he had a vision. And this vision was like a great sheet, sort of knit together, tied together, the four corners tied together. And it was let down from heaven, and inside the sheet was all sorts of four-footed beasts, wild beasts, creeping things, and fowls. And there came a voice from heaven that said this, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter answered that voice from heaven. You know, I thought about this last night as I was finishing up my notes. It doesn't say that he was amazed or dumbstruck or scared. I tell you, if I heard a voice from heaven, I'd be a little bit scared. I mean, he's just like he's carrying on a conversation. "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And he's going to say, "Not so, Lord, because I've never eaten anything that's common or unclean." I mean, it's just like he's having a conversation with somebody sitting next to him. And I don't know about you, but if I heard a voice from heaven, I'd be sort of like this, trying to figure out who was talking to me. But not him. The voice says, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And he said, "Not so, Lord, because nothing common or unclean I've never eaten." And here's what the voice from heaven, God, answered back to him. "What God hath cleansed, call not common." And Peter said, or this happened to Peter three times. Three times the sheet, or twice more, the sheet was let down. All four a source of animals and birds and creeping things in it. A voice from heaven, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." "Oh, no, I've never eaten anything common or unclean." And three times the voice comes back to him saying, "What God has cleansed, call not common. Call not common." As he was thinking about it, there came a knock at the door downstairs. There were three men that were looking for Peter. And a voice from heaven again said, "Peter, there's three men that are seeking for you. Go with them because I have sent them." Again, God talking to him. "Peter, there's three men down at the door. They're looking for you. Go ahead and go with them. Don't worry about it. Don't doubt because I've sent them." So Peter went down, said, "Who are you looking for?" "Simon Peter." "Why?" Said, "Well, a man named Cornelius, a Roman centurion, has sent us to get you, to bring you back to Caesarea." Well, Peter lodged them that night. Early the next morning, they got up and they headed toward Caesarea. Now, in addition to the three men that came from Caesarea, there was Peter, and Peter took with him six men, six other Jews, six men with him. So they came to Caesarea. They went into the man's house. The man, again, was called Cornelius. He was a Roman centurion. He was a good man. He sought after God. He did good deeds. He prayed to God. And when Peter came in, he says, "Hey, you know, it's not lawful for a Jew to come into a Gentile, but I'm here because God told me to come. He told me that when the men came, that they were sent for me. So here I am. What do you want?" And Cornelius said this, four days ago, I was fasting and praying. And a man in bright clothing, an angel, came and said, "Cornelius, your prayer has come up before God. Send men to Joppa and call for one Simon named Peter. He's staying in Simon's house by the sea. Now, you've done well that you've come. And we are all," and Cornelius spread out his arms, I think, "we are all," his house was full of people, his family and his friends, all Gentiles, and Cornelius says, "We are all here to hear what God commanded." And here's what Peter says. He says, now I see that God is no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter that you're Gentiles. It doesn't matter that I'm a Jew. I can see that God is no respecter of persons. And he began to preach Jesus to them. They got saved. And as they were getting saved, God poured the Holy Spirit on them. They began to speak in other tongues so that the people there that could not understand Peter could understand them as they told them about Jesus. So they got saved. They got filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter said, can anybody see why we shouldn't take them out and baptize them? Talking about to the six Jews that were with them. And the six Jews that were with them, nope. They got the same gift that we got. We might as well take them out and baptize them. And so they did. Now, they left. Peter and these six men went back to Joppa. And the Jews that were in Joppa met them. And they began to contend, the Bible says, with Peter. You went into the house with Gentiles. You ate with Gentiles. You baptized Gentiles. What's the matter with you, man? And here's what Peter said. He said, hey, wasn't my idea. Wasn't my plan. I was minding my own business. I was praying. I had this vision. This sheet came down from heaven. And I heard this voice from heaven. And the voice says, what God has cleansed, don't call common. He said, what could I do? God sent an angel to Cornelius. He sent a vision to me. I mean, when I told them about Jesus and they got saved, God poured out the Holy Spirit on them. I mean, the same gift that we got. What could I do but go ahead and baptize them? And he said this, what was I that I could withstand God? I mean, again, I know it's not lawful for a Jew to go into a Gentile. I know it's not lawful for us to baptize them. But what was I that I could withstand God? It was his plan. Now, this morning, I want to ask myself, because I always preach to myself, and I want to ask you the same question. Who am I? Or who are you that you can withstand God? What gives you the audacity? What gives you the courage? What gives you the boldness to withstand God? You say, preacher, you got it all wrong. I'm not withstanding God this morning. Well, I want to make 2 points, just two. You have to come back tonight to get all your money's worth for 3 points, but I only got 2 points this morning. Number one, if you're here this morning and you are not saved, you are withstanding God. Because you see, the Bible says that God's will is that every person be saved. It says God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Every single one of us are sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. There's a penalty for that sin. And it's death, not physical death, but spiritual death, being separated from God. And God loves us. The Bible says, but while we were yet sinners, God proved his love for us in sending Jesus to die for us. And he made a way for us to get our sins paid for. He made a way for us to be reconciled to God. He made a way for us to overcome that gulf that exists between God and ourselves. It says in John 1:18, but as many as received him, Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. In Romans 6:23, the last part of that verse, it says, for the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we're all sinners. We all are under the condemnation of and the punishment of sin. But God loved us and he sent Jesus to die for us. And on that old rugged cross that they sang about a moment ago, he took all of my sins and he took all of your sins. And he paid for them all on the cross. And he wants everybody to be saved. He sends the Holy Spirit to woo us, to draw us to Christ. Bible says we won't come unless we're drawn. And so he sends the Holy Spirit to every single person to woo us to Christ. You are here today not by coincidence. I know you say, well, I'll just go and visit today or I'll just go today. But you're not here by coincidence. You are here today by divine appointment. God wanted you here this morning. And there has been somebody in your life before you got here this morning that has pricked your heart about God, has pricked your heart about eternity, has pricked your heart about heaven. Maybe it was a dad or a mom or a grandpa or a grandma or a brother or a sister or a child or a grandchild, a friend, a co-worker. Somebody in your life has said a word or given you a book or talked to you about God. And the Holy Spirit used that to prick your heart. And God has brought you here this morning so that you can hear the gospel. He's done all that, God has, to keep you out of hell. He's done all that so that you can get saved. He's done all that so you can go to heaven. And so I ask the question, who are you to withstand God? Who are you to say no to God? After he sent Jesus to die for you, after he's brought you here this morning, after he sends the Holy Spirit to woo you unto himself, after he's put people in your life to prick your heart about the things of God, who are you to withstand God? Here's what we do. Say, well, I have a different idea. I have a better idea. I have a different way. I have a different plan. I have a different scheme. I'll be good. I'll go to church. I'll get baptized. I'll take communion. And all those are good things. But all those things, none of them will pay for your sins. None of them will make you right with God. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus Christ. And if you're trying to get to heaven with a better idea, sorry, it's not going to work. Jesus said, I am the way. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And who are you that you can withstand God? Peter didn't say it here in Acts chapter 11 as he was explaining why he went, but I think he sure did imply it. He said, I couldn't withstand God. I wouldn't withstand God. After he sent the angel to Cornelius, after he sent me the vision, after he poured the Holy Spirit on them, who was I that I could withstand God? He said, I know there are consequences. I know that if I don't do what God wants done, there's a price to be paid. And if you withstand God this morning in the matter of salvation, there will be consequences. There will be a price to pay. The price to pay is eternal separation from God. The price to pay is an eternal home in hell, a place prepared not for man, but for the devil and his angels. That's the price to pay. That place called hell, the bottomless pit, a place of fire where the worm dieth not, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Who am I? Who am you? Who are you to withstand God? Number two, if you're here this morning and you are not in the center of God's will, you're withstanding God. Let me remind you of some things real quick. He made you. Say, oh no, I was born. Yeah, I know you were born, but you were made by God. And he made you for a purpose. You were born when you were born because God wanted it that way. You had the mom and dad that you have because God planned it. You have the brothers and sisters that you have because that's the way God wanted it. Every experience in your childhood was there because God put it there. The school that you went to, the friends that you had, the neighbors that you had, the girlfriends, the boyfriends, the extracurricular activities that you had in junior high and high school, they were all planned and used by God. Your wife or your husband, your children, your grandchildren, the job, the place where you live. Every detail, listen to me, every detail of your life either has been orchestrated by God. You say, oh, Brother Darrell, there are some details of my life that you don't know about that God sure didn't orchestrate. Okay, let me finish the or. Every detail of your life has been orchestrated by God or will be used by God to make you what he wants you to be. Every circumstance and detail of your life, again, has been orchestrated by God or will be used by God to make you able to do what He wants you to do. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, the Bible says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." You are a work of God. You say, "Oh, preacher, you don't know my life." No, I know God. You say, "Oh, you don't know what's going on in my life." You're right, but I know God. I know that for every Christian in this room, He has a purpose for your life, a purpose for which you were made, a purpose for which He's used the circumstances of your life to get you ready for. And this morning at 11:56 on March the 11th, 2007, you have a God in heaven that loves you and wants to use you and has a purpose in your life. Okay, let me catch up to where I am. Now, we can resist. We can back up. We can say no. We can say like Moses, when God called him at the burning bush, an 80-year-old man who thought he was washed up. We can say like Moses, they won't believe me if I go back to Egypt. Or, I don't talk very good, I stutter. And he finally had to say, "God, why don't you get somebody else to do it? I don't want to do it. Get somebody else to do it." And God said, "No, no, no, no. Moses, I want you to do it. I prepared you to do it. You're the only one that can do it. You're going to go." And in the same way, God has a purpose for your life. He has you here this morning to hear this message. I mean, again, you are not here by accident. I didn't know who was coming this morning. You say, "Hey, the preacher's preaching to me. He prepared that sermon just for me." No, I did not. I did not know who was going to be here. I listened to the Holy Spirit of God. He has you here this morning. He has a purpose for your life. Every detail of your life, He's used to prepare you to accomplish that purpose. Who are you to resist God? And I say to you and I say to myself sometimes when I resist God, "You pea brain dummy. Why would I or why would," and I say that with all affection, "why would I or why would you resist the creator and sustainer of the universe, the one that has made us and loved us and has prepared us to do what He wants us to do?" God knows you better than anybody else, including yourself. He knows what you're capable of doing. God never asks us to do anything that He doesn't give us the capability and the ability to do. And we want to mess around with God's plan. We want to change God's plan. Here's what we say to God. "Well, I know better than you what I'm suited for. I know better than you what I should do with my life. I know better than you what will give me joy unspeakable and full of glory." And I ask the same question again. Who am I? Who are you that we would withstand God? Bible says His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. As high as the heaven is from the earth, so are His thoughts higher than our thoughts and His ways higher than our ways. And I'll tell you, let me just be honest with you. If you resist God for the will of your life, there will be consequences. You'll mess up your life. You'll mess up the life of your spouse. You'll mess up the life of your children. I think back in the Old Testament, I think of Achan. God's plan. And he said, "Oh no, I got a better idea. I'll do it my way." And I don't have time to tell you the whole story, but he ended up being stoned. And right beside him, because of no sin of their own, stood his wife and his children and everything that he owned. And I appeal to you this morning, if you will not get into the center of God's will for your personal being, get into the center of God's will for the sake of your family, for the sake of your wife, your husband, your children, your grandchildren. Who are you? Who am I that we can withstand God? Say, "Okay, preacher, what should I do?" All right, quickly. Number one, if you're not saved, get saved. Not tomorrow, not next week, not tonight, right now. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. You're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin. Jesus paid the penalty. And if you'll come and receive him this morning, if you'll trust him this morning, he'll wash away all your sins and make you right with God. Put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Start a home in heaven for you. So if you're here today, I don't care if there's only one person or two people or three. I don't care how many there are. There's enough grace to go around. Marvelous, the grace we sang about a moment ago. And if you're not saved, you need to get saved right now. Right now. Number two, be obedient to God's will for your life. Just have the attitude that Jesus did. He said while he was on earth, I did not come to do my will, I came to do the will of him that sent me. We need to say the same thing. I am not here to live out my plan, I am here to live out God's plan. I am not here to do my will, I am here to do his will. You say, what's the will of God? Well, let me tell you a few things. If you've been saved and not baptized, you need to get baptized. You need to start reading the Bible. You need to pray. You need to come to church. You need to tell people about Jesus. I can tell you that because that's what this book tells me is the will for every Christian. And listen, why would I expect God to tell me anything else that he wants me to do with my life? Like, if I was younger, where should I go to school? Or what job should I take? Or who should I date? Or who should I marry? Or what should be my habits? Why would I expect him to tell me anything else that I should do with my life when I don't do what he's already told me to do? He's already told me to come to church. He's already told me to pray. He's already told me to read the Bible. He's already told me to tell people about Jesus. And if I want to find out more of what he wants me to do with my life, I need to start doing what he's already told me. And so what should you do? Get right in the center of God's will. How do I find it? Well, you get into this book. And then he begins to start opening doors and closing doors like he did in the life of Paul. And then he starts sending people in your life to sort of advise you into what direction to go. And then and listen, I believe it just like for Cornelius, if you truly seek God, you'll find him. If you truly seek the will of God for your life, you'll find it. He'll figure out a way to get it. Who am I? Who are you that we should withstand God? I'll just tell you the answer. We shouldn't. It'd just be best to say, okay, God, what do you want me to do? I know if you're here today and you're not saved, he wants you to get saved. That's the first thing, right now. And if you're here Christian, he wants you in the center of his will. Right in the center of his will. That's the best thing to do. Would you do it this morning? Would you do it? Who are you? Who am I that we would withstand God? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the simple message that comes from this book.